Lord. Thank you all for your patience and your willingness to be united with other families. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
I want to start off by sharing right away that how many of you know that we often walk around and carry questions? Mm-hmm. Is anybody with me? Can anybody relate to that a little bit? In other words, many of us have questions, and we have questions for God. We have questions about life. We have questions about our own selves. We want to know if God even sees me. I can't get any help up in here. Amen. What I mean by that is that I do believe that people sincerely and genuinely, not because they're trying to be doubters or not have faith or not walk with God, but they have questions. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And what I mean by that also is that when we talk about questions, especially within a spiritual realm, sometimes people that have a more religious type of background have the desire to hush you up or quiet you or constrict you or constrain you. Are you hearing me? In other words, you say, well, Pastor, is that in the Bible? Yeah, I think, you know, that's what happened to Bartimaeus, right? He's on the side of the road and, Son of David, have mercy. Shh, you don't have time for that. You see, some of us think that in certain environments, we're not supposed to ask hard questions. In other words, instead of having questions, you're just supposed to be quiet. But how many of you know that great questions lead to great revelation? Come on, somebody, amen. How many of you know great questions, big questions, can lead to big answers? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I want to go as far to say this. I can't teach this right now, but it's worth your hearing. Get this. You see, sometimes questions either lead to revelation or they lead to unbelief. Are you with me? In other words, sometimes, and we might be sitting in here right now, we might be watching online, but because we feel like God didn't come through, then we might feel like, I'm not sure about that. Are you with me? But I want you to understand we've got questions and we don't want to be quiet about them. We've got real questions. So here's the answer. How to receive answers from God. How to receive answers from God. Say that with me. How to receive answers from God. Today we want to talk about how to receive answers from God. And I hope that it is practical enough and as clear and positive as clear as possible, because that's our subject. And I love this little young lady, because that could be any of us just pondering a particular question that's going on. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I like to share with you one answer right off the bat without any kinds of questions or doubts and giving answers as we go. If we have questions, God wants to answer them through prayer. That's just a good word. God wants to answer them how? Through what?
Prayer.
Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. God wants to answer your questions through prayer. Take a look at these right now. Up in the left-hand corner, I love this statement. Prayer is not passive, but active. That's a good place to say amen. In other words, prayer is not passive. Now, I understand that some of us may have been raised in our background that we should be quiet, and there's nothing wrong with that. Praise God. There's lots of scriptures and lots of points of meditation and reflection to remain still with God. But we understand that that doesn't mean that you're still being passive, because our heart and our spirit should be actively engaged with God. The point is that prayer is not passive, but what?
Active.
Look at the one below it. You see, prayer is for answers and actions. Prayer is for answers and what?
Action.
Because sometimes we believe that all we're supposed to do is just stay there and everything's going to happen to us. But how many know the very nature of grace is empowerment?
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand that the very measure of grace is empowerment? Grace empowers us, and he empowers us to take action to the things of God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Look at the upper right-hand corner. This is the one that I really need you to focus in on, because the rest of the word and the message is all revolved around this one in the upper right-hand corner. Prayer is knowing the who you are praying to.
Amen.
Whoa! I wish I could have a few of y'all in first service. Amen? Listen. Prayer is knowing the who you are praying to. I want that to sink in. I need that to get really embedded, like deposited or downloaded in you. Amen. I mean, you need to wire up to heaven right now and let that download in you. Listen, could you read it with me? Prayer is what? Knowing the who you are praying to. I just want to stop right there and say this. Listen, I want to be safe. I'm going to try to go slow and everything. But I don't want you to have to sit in doubt. Like, where is he going? I just told you where I'm going. Amen? Answers come through prayer. Answers come through
prayer.
So therefore, prayer is partnering with God. That's a good word right there. Prayer is partnering with God. In other words, some of us need a great revelation that we are co-laborers with Christ. Some of us want to understand that because of Jesus, we are now joint heirs with Christ to everything of the Father, who is Father of us all. In other words, we need to cast off all of these senses of shame and condemnation, and I'm a bad person, and I'm not doing right, and I hurt this, and I did wrong there. No, we are now made right because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's not based on you and me. It's based on what Jesus has completed at the cross and then buried and raised from the dead. Now he raises everything up that was down. Glory to God. We are now sons and daughters of God. We are kings and priests of the kingdom. You say, Pastor, I don't think you know me. Jesus knows you. You're a king and a priest of God. Pastor, I don't think you understand what I just did to my child. Your child is resilient, and he's going to forgive you. She's going to forgive you. You know what? And you're going to show the love of Christ and ask your child for forgiveness. Ooh, I'm preaching. I just affected all the parents. The parents just went like this. My three-year-old? How else are they going to learn forgiveness? I tell you what they will learn the difference of, how to be stubborn. Here's what today's message is going to teach us. What we will receive in this message, lessons of faith from the song Jireh. Amen? We're going to learn who God is. Can I get you to repeat them after I say them, you say them? Today we're going to learn lessons of faith from the song Jireh. Today we're going to learn who God is. We're going to learn how to receive answers from him. Let me ask you a quick question, quick survey. Just do it by raising of your hand. Listen, how many of y'all would learn how to receive more answers from God? We're going to learn that today. Simple way to pray and get what you say.
Simple way to pray and get what you say.
And very last is this, why Jesus is enough, comma, more than enough. I'm going to say that one more time. Go ahead, you go ahead, go ahead. I want you to know Jesus is enough, comma, more than enough. Are y'all ready? Look at here. For the lyrical precept from Jireh, what we're going to do right now is we just sang the song beautifully. But now we're going to extract some of those main parts of the choruses and the bridges. And I want to show you a few words in scripture so you can tie them together. Is everybody with me? In John chapter 15, verse 11 says this. These things I have, read the orange part.
Spoken.
These things I have what?
Spoken.
The things in orange are directly from the song. The things underlined is about prayer. So in this song, we heard one of the choruses say, you have already spoken. Are you with me? So in other words, God has spoken, and I know I'm already chosen. So therefore, we should look at this scripture and see Jesus has already spoken, so I'm going to believe it. I'll say that again. If Jesus said it, we should believe it. We don't have to do any more. Except what? So he's already spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Say that with me. Your four times in just a few chapters, Jesus makes this statement four times that this is my joy, that you can ask the Father anything in my name and he will give it to you. That's prayer. Therefore, Jesus is saying to us that what brings us joy is answers to prayer. Anybody get that? How many know you love when you get answers to prayer? Let me ask you a different question. When you have questions, which is asking God for something, and it comes, how many know you get excited? Amen. You know what? Some of y'all are trying to trip with me. That's all right. I've been watching some of y'all, and y'all get excited when Amazon is at your door. Uh-huh. Did my package come? It is 8 a.m. You checking on your package. Did Amazon come? How many know we should be much more joyful that his joy would make full and complete in us when we ask the Father anything in Jesus' name and we know we will have because the Father will give everything in his name. Amen. Yes, Lord. Praise God. This is my commandment that you love one another. Orange part. I have loved you. Stop. Remember the song? I'm already loved. Jesus just said, I have loved you. You see, for any of us right now, online, in here, anytime you have even a remote, almost, come on, Zach, I'm catching you tripping too. Listen, anytime you even think, I don't know if God loves me, Jesus just said, I love you. That's why the songwriter could say, I'm already loved. How many know we need to have a place where we already know we're already loved? Amen. We're not scratching. Wait. I'm not trying to do anything to gain his love. I'm gonna come over here. I'm not having to work or be good or pass some kind of test in order for God to love me.
That's right.
I'm already loved. How do we know you're already loved, Pastor? Look, greater love has no one than this. Than to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus laid down his life for us and called us friends because there is no greater love than that, and I'm included in that. Jesus laid down his life for me. In other words, he laid down his life for me so I could be picked up. And guess what? And whenever I feel like I'm drifting down, his love picks me back up again. Anytime I start feeling like I didn't do right, his love picks me back up again. And every time I do something and somebody rejects me, and his love picks me back up again. And every time they say, you didn't do that right, his love picks me back up again. I've got so much love because greater love, no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. Glory to God. Look at this. Whoa. Whoa. Help. Something happened there. Thank you. Let's try that again. There we go. John chapter 15, verse 14 says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. Read the orange part. You did not choose me, but I
chose you.
Remember the song. I'm already loved. I'm already
chosen.
I'm already chosen. Jesus just told us, you did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. That's prayer. Therefore, these things I command you that you love one another. That's just, I pray that that's just really scriptural, line upon line, precept upon precept, plain as period, as the lyrics match these words. Everybody with me? Can we keep going?
Yes.
Who God is and who I am. In other words, one of the things we wanted to look at is who is God? Loved and chosen. Watch this. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 says this: God has chosen you. This is so important, Brittany. God has chosen who?
You.
Say me. God has chosen who?
Me.
God has chosen you and you, his holy people. He loves who?
Me.
He loves me. He loves you. He loves you. So you should always clothe yourselves with mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Now listen, we got to exercise our believer. You've got a believer in here, and you've got to exercise it. These cannot just be words on the screen. They've got to be words that are adopted or embedded inside of you, and you activate your belief that that's for me. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
So the question or the answer we're dealing with today is how to receive answers from God. How to what? I want to share something with you right now, but I've got to prepare some of y'all because some of y'all are scholars and some of y'all might, you know, have questions about why I do things the way I do it. And so I'm going to try to make it plain as I can, right? So here's the deal. How many know we learn oftentimes from metaphors? We learn from prophetic things that gives us symbolism. It's not the thing, but it's the symbol of the thing. Everybody with me? Can I share with you a symbol? Look at this. If God was, all right? Now, I want you to understand, the message comes out of this particular point, and I want to share something with you. If God was a fruit or a vegetable. See, some of y'all ready to throw it at me. I get it. That makes sense. You do see that? I just told you it's a symbol. I won't be here very long, less than 5 minutes, but just stay with me because some of you are going to get this. If God, small g, was who you pray to, was who you what?
Pray to.
Can I share something with you? If God was an orange, if we won't be here long, y'all. Can I invite you in? Listen, if God was an orange, I would have to learn how to pray like this. Orange, I ask that you would show me how to peel back the outer core, the outside, so I can get inside to that very beautiful fleshy fibers that will give me fiber. And God, because orange, God, I love citrus so much that I'm asking that when I put it in my mouth that I will taste and see that the orange is good. Everybody got that? Come on, now you got to stay with me. Get this. I had to know what the orange is like in order to receive from what it has. Does everybody got that? If the banana was a God, and I prayed to the God, to the banana God, I have to say, thank you for the brightness of your outer core, out of your outer shell, that lets me know if you're ready to be eaten or not. And therefore, when you're ready, I see now, it's not ready. Banana God, you are not ready. I'm just playing. Thank you for giving the exposure of the beautiful, succulent white flesh that's so soft and creamy that is sweet. And you have potassium. Give me potassium to my body so that it would help the nutrients and cause me to not have cramps.
Amen.
I need you to get that. You see, if I was praying to the banana, I've got to know the traits and qualities of the banana and ask that of the banana because I know that it's going to give it to me. Are you with me? Is somebody getting this at all? Onion. If I was to pray to the onion God, I would say something like this. Onion, I'm so sorry that every time I cut you that I end up putting the skins in the food and my wife tells me I didn't do it right again. But could you please help me peel back the outer skin so it doesn't land in the food? And because I know you've got layers, help me to cut through the layers and to do it quickly so that I won't get tears in my eyes, because I know once I get you in the pan and the heat hits you, I'm asking that you give off that sweet aroma that makes the rest of the food taste good. You see, I've got to know the what? To ask of the onion to give of me what the onion has. Is everybody with me? Are you ready for me to make it plain? We could gain more answers if we knew God than what he has to give us. Did you get that? In other words, if we knew God, Jehovah Jireh, El Shaddai, and his characteristics by detail. Because some of us know the banana and the orange and the onion more than we might know God. But if we knew God like we knew them, we would ask for specific details from the Word of God about his characteristics and be able to receive more answers for who he is. Come on, give the Lord a praise offering. You see, let me show you another one. Last one. Guess what? What is this?
Habanero.
Y'all knew that one, right? First service was like pepper. I was like, no, let's go with habanero. But if I was to pray to the habanero, watch this. Oh, habanero, I ask that when I cut you open, that you would cause me to have that beautiful, sweet citrus flavor. Because you're orange, and I know you're an orange. Oh, whoa, whoa, watch this. Not yet. All of y'all just felt it, and y'all didn't even taste it. That's the same thing we do when we're asking God for something, and we don't get what we expected, but it's different, and we think God failed us, but we didn't know the God in whom we were praying to, so we're asking things that he does not give. We have got to know God and who he is. Glory to God. Did you get that? I'm good, promise. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 17. Some of y'all ready to go call 911 or something, you know? Mom, I know you're going to call me tonight, okay? I get it. I'm good, Mom. Listen, everybody turn your Bibles to Genesis 17. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Now, the one thing I want to say about this song, and I'm not necessarily complaining, I'm just simply pertaining. Here is the subject. I don't know, because I don't know their revelation, but they sing about Jehovah Jireh more than enough. Are y'all with me? But from my background, and I'm sure maybe somebody here, Hebrew, Aramaic scholar, can help me with this, but the issue is, that's what not the definition that I know. So I want to teach us about this song. Can you give me that? Thank you, sweetie. Thank you. Starting at verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai. That might be pronounced incorrectly, but I am El Shaddai. Get this, God Almighty. Say God Almighty.
God Almighty.
Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants. At this, Abraham fell down on his face. He responded to God. Then God said to him, this is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. Once more, I am changing your name. In other words, he's going to change Abram. It will no longer be Abram. Instead, you will be called Abraham, for you will be a father of many nations. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
This is vital because I want you to see something here. The Bible, listen, first of all, this is chapter 17. This is chapter what?
17.
Boy. Chapter 15. We get, write it down, we get a promise. Abram gets a what? And he exhibits, watch this, he exhibits an enormous amount of faith. This is where we get Abram saying this. God says to him, go outside and look and try to count the stars. For as many stars as there are, so shall your seed be. And the Bible says, and he believed God. He what?
Believed God.
He didn't do any works. He believed God. And it was counted to him as what? Righteousness. Everybody with me? Say, that's a promise.
That's a promise.
Chapter 16, without trying to go over the whole summary, the problem of the flesh. So you go from great faith and a promise to in chapter 16 is where you get Hagar and the birth of Ishmael, which is a problem of the flesh. Can I tell you what that is? That is, when we receive a promise from God, we have a question. God, how are you going to do it? And when God doesn't do it, we do it on our own. That's a good word. We do it out of us striving in our own flesh and our own effort. Are you with me? But then chapter 17 happens. Watch this. We go from a promise to a problem. Chapter 17, God shows up in his presence. What does that say to us? That even when we might mess something up, even when we have a promise from God and we stumble over it or we botch it up, God will still show up in his presence and say, I am God. I am El Shaddai. I am God Almighty. And even though you fumbled it up, I still will promise you what I said a chapter ago. And I am able to be, watch this, more than enough. I did not need your help. I will do it on my own because I am El Shaddai. I am more than enough, and I will accomplish that which I said. Come on, give the Lord a praise offering. Say El Shaddai.
El Shaddai.
You see, El Shaddai is the definition. Watch this. El Shaddai means God Almighty. The definition of El Shaddai is most powerful. Most what? If you knew that God was most powerful, the song says, no matter the circumstance. You see, no matter the what? When we know we have him, it's no matter the circumstance. Come on, let's go a little step further. Watch this. He says, El Shaddai, he says what? All sufficient. He's all what?
Sufficient.
And then look at the last two. The definition of El Shaddai means enough and what? More than enough. What's the last one? More than enough. What is the last one?
More than enough.
The reason I put a line in this word at the bottom, because some scholars put this down, and I really like it. I'm going to use it. God means, El Shaddai means plenty. Say that with me. Turn to your neighbor and say plenty.
Plenty.
Say God is plenty.
God is plenty.
Praise God. Turn to Genesis 22, if you will. Many of us will learn something here just because we read this scripture. And I'm decent on time, so let me rush through it. Genesis 22. Please follow along. I'm starting at verse 1. I'm going to read New Living Translation. You will gain just by the reading. Watch this. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied. Here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love. Whom you what?
Love.
Isn't it weird that God asked us to give him something that he gave us? Whom you love as much. And go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. The next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire for a burnt offering and set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Stay here with the donkey, Abraham told the servants. The boy and I will travel a little farther. We will worship there, and then we will come right back. Does everybody see that? Say faith.
Faith
says, we're going to go, and we're going to come back. Did y'all see God told him to take him up there and sacrifice him? Let's keep reading. So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "We have the fire and the wood." The boy said, "But where is the sheep for the burnt offering?" Verse 8, "God will provide." God will what?
Provide.
"A sheep for the burnt offering, my son," Abraham answered. And they both walked on together. And when they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son, Isaac, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Yes," Abraham replied, "here am I." "Don't lay a hand on the boy," the angel said. "Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son." Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in its horns in a thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham named the place Yahweh Jireh, or really means Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. What does Jehovah Jireh mean? Which means what? The Lord will provide. What does it mean? One more time. The Lord will provide. To this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called again to Abraham from heaven. "This is what the Lord says, because you have obeyed." Because you have what?
Obeyed.
"Me and have not withheld even your son, your only son. I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number. Like the stars in the sky and the sand of the seashore, your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies. And through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me." And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Everybody get that story. It's very important because we got to go a little faster. But I want you to see some of these details as we round this out towards a close. We are wanting to talk about here the revelation of Jireh. Of what?
Jireh.
Of Jehovah Jireh. This is where it took place. We even see right there in the text, provide has been shown four times. Get this. So therefore, we know the definition means God will provide. God will provide. Say that with me.
God will provide.
Write these two other definitions down there. I didn't write them on here. Do you know what one of the definitions of this means also? God will see to it. That's powerful. In other words, God will see to it. And another definition is this: God will take care of it. God will see to it. God will take care of it. He will tend to it. Listen to what God is trying to get us to understand about Jehovah Jireh. God says, "I will provide. I see it. I'm going to take care of it." You need to begin to give the Lord a shout about learning about to know who God is in your life. God sees your circumstance. God sees your situation. He sees what may be missing. He sees what tears you cry. And God is saying, "I see it, and I will provide." Amen. Glory to God. In this definition, the word is provide. In El Shaddai, it was what? Plenty. It was what? Good job, you're a student. El Shaddai is plenty. Is what?
Plenty.
El or Jehovah Jireh is what?
Provide.
Is what?
Provide.
Here we go. So who is God? Plenty and provided. Watch this. Abraham didn't name the place. Watch what we do sometimes. Abraham didn't name the place in reference to what he experienced. He didn't name it Mount Trial or Mount Agony or Mount Obedience. Instead, he named the hill in reference to what God did. He named it Mount Provision. He named it knowing God will provide the ultimate sacrifice for the salvation on that hill someday. All I'm trying to get us to understand is I know some of us are bent or wired or we've had some negative experiences. Sometimes we even call it trauma. And some of the things we've gone through have been hard. And I want to be sensitive to that. But you know, sometimes many of us are so, we see things through our wanting to tell the negative part of everything. In other words, I went through, boy, I went up there and I almost had to kill Isaac. It's not called Mount Agony. We're not looking at what we went through. We're not looking at what we had to do. We're looking at what God went through. We're looking at what God did for us. He called it, that's where God provided. If we had more mountains in our lives that we could point to it and said, God took me there and he brought me back again because he's my deliverer. He's my rescuer. He is my provider. Come on and give God a praise. Oh. Say it's all about prayer. You got to take your notes really quickly. Look and watch this. These are really simple. Five very simple points. Are you ready? Come on now. Uncross those hands if you can. Write the notes. This is how you learn. This is how you grow. This is how you get answers to your prayers. And don't depend on your wife's notes. Come on in Jesus' name. My God. Listen, I know it's not grammatically correct, but watch this. Five simple way to pray and get what you say. Number one, I'm going to talk about number one, number five. Number one is this. Stop your busy in life for just a moment. Isn't that good? Stop your busy life for just a moment. I think this is so powerful. Let me tell you why. You see, I was just driving from Branson on Friday. It's about 6 hours, 25 minutes or so. And I had it all plotted out. Oh, I'm going to listen to these many messages, and I'm going to take care of this many calls, and I'm going to make sure these answers happen, and I got to counsel this many people. And I was ready, and I was going. But somewhere in the middle of the trip, God said, hey, Teran, you going to pray? I was like, I was going to listen to another message. How many of you know, because some of us, we get so caught up in what we want to do. And we think, well, see, here's what the real truth is. I was uncomfortable with praying to God because I was dealing with some difficult issues in my own heart and in my own, you know, some people being not nice towards me and, you know, holding me, you know, up against some things or some things going on in some other people's lives or dealing with, you know, things that are hurtful in some people's families and really pulled into those situations. And so all I'm trying to say is that I was avoiding God. Have you ever been there? I'd like to share with you this testimony. God prompted me so many times that while I'm driving, I just stopped, took a deep breath. I said, okay, and I set my this thing I do, an alarm for praying, and I said, God, our Father. You know what happened? I'm telling you, it was just like that. God, our Father. Whew, heaviness and weight lifted off of me immediately, less than 5 seconds. All I said was, God, our Father. And it just took off. I mean, I was so upset. Because what? I'm sitting up here missing time with the Father because I'm trying to avoid him. And all he wanted me to do was acknowledge him. And he took away stress, took away tension, took away worry, took away upsetness, took away unforgiveness, just took it right out of my heart. Do you understand if you just stop from your busyness in life, God will answer your prayer? Getting quiet up in here. Number two, set apart. That means sanctify that moment with God. Let me tell you, there's 168 hours in a week. I think you got 5 minutes. That's not guilt. I'm just trying to say, you want more answers? You got to actually have some time to ask them. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Number three, speak intimately with the Father. That's what Jesus did. Number four, I love this one. Watch this. Look at this. Shh. Say that with me. Surrender. How many know that's sometimes very difficult to do? Because we might find ourselves like, I think I know the answer. I can do it on my own. Man, I don't know this. And you know, you're doing it with God. You know what? Do you understand that God is almighty and we are all many? It would make more sense that the many would submit to the many, to the mighty. Number five, surprise. Surprise and awe and wonder. I want you to get this one. I want to invite you into this one. I want to share with you out of Acts where Peter was in prison. Peter was in prison and he was bound up. And they were praying at what I call Sister Rhoda's house. They was having a prayer meeting at Sister Rhoda's house. And as a result, when Peter gets released, he comes to their house, knocks on the door, and a little young lady comes to the door and she sees it and she slams the door on his face. I want you to understand that really good teaching shares, right quickly, listen, good teaching shares that, you know what, she was having a difficulty and struggling that here she is praying and they didn't even start believing that God was going to do it. But I want to share with you a different version of that. Can I do that right quick? The version, y'all can come up. The version is this. Can you imagine that she was young and she was like, oh my God. You see, that's the way I want to be. I want to be surprised still, like a tender young heart child. Oh my God. I want to live in the awe. I want to live in the wonder of God. I want to be able to say, oh my God, God did it again. I want to be able to live with a heart that's so tender that when God moves, I still treat him with wonder and mystery. I don't want to know and have all the answers. I want to be able to know he who knows all things. And that's why I want to keep my life and my heart so tender to God. Somebody say amen. We'll go ahead and finish. Here's how I want to finish. Oh, here it is. Everybody say Jesus. The problem with this message, listen, is that it's stoked in the Old Testament. It's stoked in the what? But can I give it to you right quick? Look, this same mount is the same mount that Jesus was sacrificed on. Can I share with you another typology? You see, Isaac is a typology of Jesus. And Abraham is a typology of the Father. What I'm trying to get us all to hear is this. When God says, Abraham, I see what you did, but you stop. Now let's talk about the ram for just a second. Dr. Thompson teaches this really well. That the ram was caught in the thicket of his horns, like Jesus, who had a crown of thorns on his head. But the reason he had to be caught in his head and not his body is because the sacrifice had to be unblemished. So here is this. Abraham, stop. Don't do it. Because I see what you're doing. But don't worry about it. Because I'm going to finish what you began. There's going to come a day on this same mountain that I'm going to take my son up with wood on his back. And I'm going to lead him to the cross. And I will take him and have him be sacrificed. Why? Because Jesus will be the plentiful one who will provide the power of salvation to all who call on his name. Give the Lord a shout offering. Stand to your feet. Jesus is the fulfillment of Jehovah Jireh. Jesus, listen, is the fulfillment of El Shaddai. Jesus is more than enough. Jesus is more than enough. And Jesus is our provider. Whatever you have need of, you have need of salvation, he's got plenty of it. He can give it to you today. Jesus has healing. If you're hurting, he can heal you. If you're brokenhearted, Jesus is more than enough to put you back together again. Jesus is the one who has all of your provisions.